Thank you. That was a great Thanksgiving anthem, complete with handbells and senior adult and sanctuary singers. And all of God's people said, amen. I've been trying to remember that story I learned when I was a kid in school about Thanksgiving, you know, the one about the pilgrims and the Indians. Trying to remember exactly how that went. I remember dressing up. You either got to be an Indian or a pilgrim. You see, the pilgrims were our spiritual cousins. They were separatist, just like the Baptist. They had separated from the Church of England, just like the Baptist. They were searching for religious freedom, just like the Baptist. Only the Baptist went to Holland, and the pilgrims came to the New World and started the Plymouth Colony, Plymouth Plantation. Now, if you do recall from your school days, that first winter was horrific, and half of the settlers died of disease. They might have all perished had it not been for the kindness of the Native Americans who taught them not only how to survive in this strange land, but once springtime came, they taught them how to plant and farm in a strange soil. These Native Americans were the Wampanoag Indians, and their leader was the mighty chief Massasoit. They not only befriended the pilgrims and taught them how to survive, but they entered into a treaty of mutual protection. And the pilgrims did experience a bountiful harvest in that year of 1621, and they decided to celebrate with a feast of Thanksgiving. Now, the story that I've always heard was this. Governor William Bradford decided to have this big turkey dinner. So he invited the Indians to come and join them, and they all came bearing gifts. They had corn, they had casseroles, they had mashed potatoes, they had pumpkin pie, and they just had a grand old time. But according to most historians, that's not exactly what happened. More than likely, it went something like this. Governor Bradford decided to celebrate the bountiful harvest, and he sent his men a fowling. Now, I don't know what a fowling is. I bet Sterling and Sam know all about that. They went out hunting birds, wild turkeys, and other things to put on the table so they would have a feast to celebrate the harvest. The Indians were not invited. I don't think it was an intentional slight. I think it never crossed their mind that maybe they should invite their new friends. Because you see, the Indians didn't have anything in common really with the pilgrims. Different culture, different language, different religion. And so it probably never crossed their mind that they should invite their new neighbors. But when they went out hunting, the Indians heard the gunfire, and they thought the pilgrims had come under attack, and they came to their rescue. They came to their aid. They came to their defense, and when they did, they found out that, oh, no, they're just out hunting. We're getting ready to have a big feast. Oh, by the way, why don't you stay and join us? It's kind of like running into a casual acquaintance at the grocery store and say, why don't you come see us? And they do. So there were about 100 of these warriors, hungry, big warriors. And they stayed for the feast. The only problem now was they didn't have enough food to eat. And so Massasoit sent his warriors out a hunting. And they came back with enough venison to feed the entire colony and all of the Native Americans, and they sat down and enjoyed a bountiful feast. Maybe there is a lesson for us in that first Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, we count our many blessings and we name them one by one. And that's exactly what we should do. But if Thanksgiving is only about us, if it's only about my family, if it's only about my church, then I have not listened to the Apostle Paul in this great passage that Courtney shared with us moments ago from Philippians 1, in which Paul is expressing his gratitude to the community of Philippi for their partnership in the gospel. Thanksgiving is understanding our interdependence. Just as last Sunday, we thanked our veterans because we could not worship in freedom without the sacrifice that our many veterans have made through their service. Paul said in verse 7 that you are partners with me in God's grace so that you can participate in the harvest of righteousness, a harvest for all. You know, I guess we've always heard that those Indians were invited guests that first Thanksgiving because they should have been. But they came not because they were invited, but because they thought they were needed. And had those settlers been under attack, the Native Americans would have fought to the death for them. They believed in the harvest for all. John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church, once said that Christians should eliminate the word mine from their vocabulary, and we should replace it with the word thine. And that's the story of the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. Sam, thank you for coming and sharing those stories with us today. Back in 1885, John Mills motivated the Baptist of North Carolina to include the children in the harvest for all. Not just mine, but mine becomes thine. That's why we send shoeboxes all over the globe. That's why we adopt angels through the Salvation Army. And when we exchange the word mine for thine, God accomplishes great, great things. Let me tell you a story, an amazing story. And Barbara, you're going to love this one because it's about the shoebox ministry. 16 years ago, a little 7-year-old boy in Idaho packed a shoebox for Operation Christmas Child. In the shoebox, he included a picture of himself, and he had his name and address. A few weeks later, right before Christmas, a little girl in the Philippines who lived in poverty, whose father was a pastor, who was involved in a vacation Bible school associated with Christmas, received that shoebox, and when she opened it up, she found the picture of a little American boy, 7 years old, dressed in a cowboy shirt and jeans. And she saw his name and his address, and she decided to write him a letter to let him know how much that shoebox had meant to her. She mailed the letter, but he never received it. 11 years later, she's now on Facebook, and she decides to search for that boy, who's now grown, on Facebook, and sure enough, she finds him. Even though a decade had passed, she wanted him to know how that small act of kindness had blessed her life when she was a little girl. She was soon connected with Tyrell Wolf, who lived in Midvale, Idaho. Population, 160, they started a friendship on Facebook. And they soon found out that they had a whole lot in common. Tyrell started saving his money. And 3 years ago, he traveled to the Philippines where he met Joanna. Her protective dad, being the pastor that he was very cautious about this boy from the United States, but he gave him permission to date his daughter. The next year, Tyrell returned, and this time he asked for her hand in marriage. The wedding took place on the ranch, his parents' ranch, on October the 5th, 2014. But the wedding invitations had an unusual request. Instead of traditional wedding gifts, they wanted all the guests to bring shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. And then the couple decided to go on a road trip. They drove all the way from Idaho to Charlotte, North Carolina, to the distribution center so they could personally deliver all of those shoeboxes and tell their story. And this is what they said. When we start having children, we want to involve them in packing shoeboxes as well. Tyrell said, I remember as a little boy, I was so excited to know that the toys and the other items I put in that box would bring joy to another child somewhere else in the world. And then he added, I just didn't know the joy that it would bring back to me one day. When mine becomes thine, God can use it in a marvelous way. And so let us continue in the harvest of righteousness, the harvest for all, sharing what we have been blessed with so that Thanksgiving is more than just a day, but it's a lifestyle in which we bless the lives of others.